God's word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We'll end the reading there. Let us pray together. So, Lord, we would come asking that you would speak to us through word and sacrament. We come seeking your presence, seeking your mercy, seeking to know you. We come knocking, wanting the door so much to open unto us. We hear your promises, O Lord. We pray that now you would bless both the preaching and the listening of your word. Help me to speak with clarity, and help my brothers and sisters to listen, so that we would together hear your voice to us, that we would hear that deeper voice of you speaking to our hearts and changing us and transforming us, that we would know when we leave this building today that we have been in the presence of holiness, that we have been in the Father's house, and that we have been richly blessed, and that we have tasted good things and have been fed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here Jesus is turning to a fairly familiar family picture of children asking things of parents. Children are good at asking things, at seeking things from you, of knocking on doors, wanting in. And so in a common thing that's played out in family life down through the ages and in homes across the country today, Jesus draws on a very familiar image of children asking. My son Jackson is famous for asking interesting questions. And he turns to me and, you know, thinks that I should know the answer to these things. And so we've taken note over the years of some of the questions that he has asked. Dad, how far can a germ walk in one day? And I'm supposed to know that. Do you think that someone has ever killed a bug while they're clapping? You know, I have to think about that. I think probably someone has killed a bug while they were clapping. Or, do you think there's some part of water in the world that has never been digested? Dad, if somebody won $100,000 on a game show and then instantly died of a heart attack, who would get the money? Or do you think that someone has washed their hands at the same time that an ant was crawling out of the vent? Whoa. Okay, so anyway, and he comes with great confidence that I know the answers to these questions. Well, as I mentioned, Jesus draws on a familiar family scene that children ask. They ask questions. And Sometimes they ask really hard questions, too. They ask for drink, they ask for cookies, they ask for toys. As they get older, they ask for iPods, they ask for electronic equipment. They seek comfort, they seek band-aids, they seek help, they seek advice, they seek your presence, they seek hugs. Children knock, and knocking, that is really a sign of persistence, right? There's a, I'm going to keep knocking until the door opens. And we kids knock on doors wanting to come in. Jesus' whole point is that if you who are sinful, even says you who are evil, remember, he's talking about Christian people here, people who are believers, and saying, if you are broken and sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, then you hear the logic then, right? How much more so is your Father in heaven willing to give good things to those who seek, to those who ask, to those who knock? So the first thing we want to hear, and probably just two brief points here, the graciousness of this invitation, and then of course the graciousness of the Father. So consider how wide open this invitation is to come. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Do you hear the generosity of that? When I was a boy, my father would come home from work, and one of the first things he'd do to sort of unwind and relax would be he'd read the newspaper in his special chair. And I remember as a little boy, my dad sitting in the chair with the newspaper wide open. Sometimes I would go up to the paper and I would go click like that. And if my dad was in a good mood, he would put the paper down and he'd chase me around the house and he'd grab me and he'd tickle me. It was great fun, because he's in a good mood. But there would be other times I can remember where I would go up and I'd click the paper. And Dad was in a leave me alone mood, and he'd get mad at me. And I never knew what I'd get. Happy Dad, fun Dad, or leave me alone Dad when I clicked the paper. Dear friends, here's what I want you to hear Jesus saying, is that the nature of the Heavenly Father is that He wants you to come. He wants to be interrupted by you. He wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. He wants you to find. And I suppose this appeals to Jesus knowing that we are bashful. Martin Luther says it this way. He says he knows that we are timid and shy and that we feel unworthy or unfit to present our needs to God. We think that God is so great and we are so tiny and that we don't dare pray. That is why Jesus wants us to lure us away from such timid thoughts, to remove our doubts, and to have us go ahead confidently and boldly. Do you hear how gracious that is? See, our tendency, like Adam and Eve of old, as a picture of humanity, is that we are more inclined to hide in the bushes and hide behind our fig leaf because of our shame or our fear. But here's an invitation for Jesus to bring it out into the light. To come with your cares. With honesty. To come with your fears. To come with your needs. To come with all your worries. To come with your doubt. To bring it out into the light. To come with your weakness, your frailty. To come with the ugliness of your sin. To come to ask, to seek, to come in your brokenness and shame, in your inadequacy and your weariness, your loneliness and your nakedness, your woundedness, your alienation and your depravity, your yearning for a new life. Come, come, ask, seek, knock. He wants to be found by you. Do you hear how gracious that invitation is? Okay. And I think here's our problem. I think we have some reason that we doubt this and don't do it. Perhaps some of you are thinking, well, this is all fine and dandy, Rick. It's a nice sentiment, but we all know, don't we, that sometimes when we ask, we don't receive. Sometimes when we seek, we get silence in return. Sometimes when we knock, as C.S. Lewis says in A Grief Observed, after the death of his own wife, go to him in your need, and when it's desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? The door slammed in your face, and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. There are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seemed so once. And so, sometimes our experience in asking, seeking, knocking seems to not jive with what Jesus is saying. And so we think, well, better to lay low and be self-sufficient and not do this than to face the disappointment. But let's remember what prayer is. Prayer is not the approach to a genie or to an errand boy who will do your bidding. But Jesus' whole point here is that prayer is a coming to a heavenly Father and entrusting ourselves unto Him. About a year ago, I had been thinking that I hadn't been a really good father to my kids recently, and I had been distracted, been really busy, and I kind of neglected them for a few months. I thought, I need to really try to reconnect with these guys, and so I thought, I'm going to take each one of them out for breakfast. And then each one of them, I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to ask, how can I be a better father to you? And that was a little threatening question. I remember going out with Jackson, again, picking on Jackson today, but I went out with him, breakfast over there, I did Steak and Shake, and this is a threatening question, because I realized the answer might be, you know, pretty revealing and exposing, you know, my failures or my weakness. So I got swallowed, and said, Jackson, I was really curious about something. I want to be a better dad to you, and I was wondering, how can I be a better father to you? Like, if you could just think of one thing. And he didn't have to think real long. His one thing was, don't make me eat yucky food. And of course, to Jackson, yucky food means anything that's not hot dogs, macaroni and cheese, or dessert. But don't make me eat yucky food. And now, I suppose I could honor that request, right? It's within my power to not make him eat yucky food. But I also recognize that that request is not is not in his best interest in the long run, right? And so as one who would care for him, I'm able to translate his somewhat slightly misguided or skewed request back into something that is more beneficial to him. And I suspect that for many of us, we approach prayer as something like, God, please don't give me yucky food. Whatever yucky food translates to be. I mean, right? Aren't most of our prayers, God, please don't let me suffer in some way. Or don't let my friends, please give me a life of ease and stress-free, happy comfort. I think often our prayers sort of get reduced into that realm, right? And that's what it's natural for us to pray things like that. But the reality is that God knows that sometimes yucky food is actually beneficial. Because in the complex process of sanctification, and in God's bigger picture of what He is doing, making us more like Christ, making us more human, making us more holy, sometimes it is the yucky food of trials and suffering and painful things that bring us to that kind of humility and sanctification. And so, yeah, when we ask and seek and knock, let's remember, we're not coming as somebody who's found a bottle on the beach, you know, with the genie, with the three wishes, and the third wish is grant me three more wishes. But prayer, at the end of the day, is an ultimate entrusting of ourselves to the care of a heavenly Father who has said, I am your Father, I love you, entrust yourself to me. Ask, seek, knock. I think one of the reasons that we maybe don't do this as well as we should is that if we're not convinced about the Father's general goodness. So Jesus is really helping us here to think, you know, if you who are evil, now if you who are sinful parents know how to do this, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts? If you ask for a fish, will He give you a snake? If you ask for bread, will He give a stone? No, I mean, we understand that a father has a general demeanor of wanting to be a blessing. And if we can even get a taste of that in our own earthly fathers, and I know some of you have had rough relationships with fathers, and perhaps your father did not always model this kind of care. And I think it's often the case that we can easily transfer our experience with heavenly or with earthly fathers up to the Heavenly Father. But Jesus here is helping us to rethink that. That the Father that He has reconciled us to is good and gracious, and His demeanor toward us is to be a blessing. And if you doubt that, if you're wondering, look no further than this table. What kind of father is the Father? Jesus said, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus said that He is the exact representation of the Father's glory. You know, we often think of sometimes the Father in sort of Trinitarianism, the Father is sort of the big meanie and vindictive, and then Jesus the Son, who is the one that's compassionate and merciful. And we need to be careful on that, because let's remember, it is out of the loving heart of the Father that the Son was sent in the first place. For God, the Father, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? And so, if you want to know what kind of Father the Father is, look at the Son. And what do you see in the Son, and what is represented at this table, is the love of the Father who went all the way for you. Who, even before you were born, In fact, even before the world was made, in his electing grace, foreknew you, foreloved you. And even before you were born, sent Christ to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins, to bear all the ugliness. Before you even knew about God, or even before you asked, he had accomplished that salvation on behalf of his people. I wonder what kind of father the Father is. Look at Christ and this sacrament and be reminded that we see in the gospel of Christ a Father who has loved us, who has provided for our deepest need at great expense. Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, that's the Father, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And so, friends, as we come to this table, let's remember that this is an invitation into the Father's house. It's a picture of a banqueting hall, where in the Father's house he gives good food, provides good things for his children. And of course the symbol being what the Father has provided is for our salvation, that we might be reconciled to the Father, that we might have our sins and our brokenness forgiven and cleansed and washed away, that we can come into the Father's house now without shame or embarrassment or dread, but rather come into the Father's house because you're one of the kids of his family. You get to come. You belong. He now accepts you, not as a slave, but as a son. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. And ladies, don't be offended by that language, because the son was the inheritor, right? So when the church is called the son of God, the sons of God, we are all of us, men and women, given the status of the inheritor of the kingdom. It's a great high status to be a son of God, loved and accepted, freed, forgiven, in the Father's house, eating at the Father's table, rejoicing in the Father's presence. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that he would invite us, ask, seek, knock. Amen? Let's pray.